Good afternoon. I want to thank Dr. Richmond, Dr. Adrales, and the college for the privilege of speaking with you this afternoon. And I've been tasked to discuss the costs associated with inguinal hernia repairs, specifically addressing open laparoscopic and robotic approaches. I do have some disclosures, none of which should be relevant, but I will disclose that I am early in my robotic learning curve, and I certainly do open and laparoscopic inguinal hernia repairs on a routine basis. So I'd like to discuss a little bit about U.S. healthcare costs pertaining to inguinal hernia repair, and then really dive into the available literature regarding the cost for and reimbursement for the three different types of widely utilized inguinal hernia approaches. It is no secret to anyone in the audience that healthcare costs in the U.S. significantly outpace the remainder of the world, with nearly 17.5% of our GDP going into healthcare costs on an annual basis, which translates to about $9,000 per individual in the United States. So how much does a hernia repair cost? I think this is an interesting question, and if you look at it, there's tremendous variability throughout the entire United States. If you don't know how much your hernia repair costs at your institution, I challenge you today to go home and learn about it, because if you're not understanding how much your hernia repair costs at your institution, I promise you someone else is looking at this. This represents insurance database, and they're tracking this information, and they are well aware of how much or how expensive it is for you to perform the operations that you do at home each day. So when we think about the cost of a hernia repair, I think it's important to realize that there are many different stakeholders and there are many different perspectives from the standpoint of true costs for delivery of inguinal hernia care. So the patient is concerned about their insurance premiums, their deductibles, their co-payments, the cost of pharmacy, and lost wages. Whereas the employer has a different perspective. They're concerned about return to work, the cost of replacement of that employer, and the cost of the insurance that they deliver. An insurer, however, is really focused on the claims. They want to know how much they're going to spend, whether it be for an inpatient facility, an outpatient facility, an ambulatory surgery center, and it's all about how much money they pay on an individual basis. Whereas your hospital is much more concerned about the cost of supplies, goods, staff, and infrastructure, and arguably many physicians are really oblivious to the costs associated with their individual hernia repair today, and that may change moving forward. So does cost matter? Well, I think it really depends on the system in which you work. Absent the state of Maryland, we live in a fee-for-service world in the United States. In a capitated environment where there's a fixed kitty of money, regardless of the care you provide, it really will matter how much money you spend today, because it has implications for what you can do tomorrow. But having said that, in the fee-for-service world that most of us live in, incentives vary, payments truly do vary based upon the work that is provided. Within a hospital, we have both direct costs and indirect costs. Obviously, direct costs are controllable on an individual case basis and includes supplies, labor, time is often factored into direct costs, pharmacy benefits, whereas indirects are the facilities, capital equipment, repairs, service contracts, keeping the light on, and things that are less tangible directly in the operating room. So what are the costs in an operating room? This is a study that's fairly recent from JAMA Surgery looking at costs, and you can see it's around $30 per minute to run an operating room. Most of that is direct costs, about two-thirds of it, but there are some indirect costs associated with running an operating room. So undoubtedly, procedures that take longer will ultimately cost a facility more money. What makes up those costs? Well, interestingly, the indirect costs have taken a greater percentage of the total operating room costs on an annual basis. They've significantly outpaced direct costs in the operating room. Well, where is that coming from? Well, you can see here in this slide, again, this was published in 2018, you can see the cost of healthcare wages has increased of about 27%, but the other healthcare expenditures represent a much greater increase than the healthcare wages. And specifically, when you look at the individual breakdown of those healthcare wages, physicians and surgeons represent a minority of the overall increase in healthcare costs. You can see in this slide that only 5% of the growth is associated with physicians, although there's many other entities that have crept into our healthcare system over the past decade that are adding significant expense. In this article, looking at the gap between CEO pay and orthopedic surgeon compensation, you can see that rate of increase has changed significantly from 3 to 1 to 5 to 1, and CEO pay has become exorbitant relative to physician compensation. So I digressed a little bit, and I really want to dive into the cost of hernia surgery. So obviously, we do hernia surgery in an operating room, and those are relatively fixed costs. Well, if we do open hernia repair, we generally use instrument sets, some minimal disposable trays, and costs on general are in the tens of thousands of dollars for instruments. When we start using minimally invasive suites or laparoscopy, 20 years ago, this was something that was brand new to us, but most of us live in a world in which we have laparoscopy suites immediately available to us. Typical cost is $150,000 to $250,000 to outfit an existing operating room. But then when we move into the world of robotic surgery, now we're adding yet another dimension to cost for the associated equipment needed to perform robotic surgery. In addition to that, many of the costs are cumulative. Many times when we do an open case, we again simply use instruments. When we do a laparoscopic case, we do need some open instruments plus laparoscopic instruments. And certainly in my institution, when we do robotic surgery, we tend to open all three sets of instruments, the robotic, the laparoscopic, as well as the open instrument tray. Now, I want to introduce to you a concept that, you know, those who are business savvy in the room will understand, but there's this concept of sunk costs. These are costs that are incurred in the past, that cannot be recovered, and they're really independent of future expenses. And there is this sunk cost fallacy, this idea that a company or organization is more likely to continue with a project that they've already invested a lot of money into it. And I'm not here to say that the robot is necessarily a sunk cost, but you need to keep that perspective in mind when you look at the financials associated with any individual technology. So just because you've spent a lot of money today may or may not be a driver for utilizing it in the future because there are costs associated with utilization. And this really gets back to the cost of the concept of throwing good money after bad. And at the end of the day, what we're really concerned about, obviously, is our patients, but from a financial perspective, is profit and loss. Simply revenue minus expenses is going to represent either your gross margin or gross losses. So interestingly, in this fee-for-service world we live in, costs vary significantly and charges and reimbursements vary differently as well. We know that from a facility perspective, facilities are compensated greater for laparoscopic procedures than open. For the same hernia in the same patient, if we do it one technique versus another, the reimbursement will vary. However, laparoscopic and robotic compensation, as a general rule, is similar, and certainly from our government payers in the United States, they're considered equivalent, and there's no differential for robotics relative to laparoscopy. From an inpatient perspective, again, we live in a DRG world, and there are three DRGs associated with inguinal hernia repair, and it's a very small number of hernias that are associated with DRG payments because most of them are done on an outpatient basis. However, it is important to note that the DRGs are based on the past. So for an individual DRG, if a hospital is spending more money this year than they did in the previous, the DRG payment for that individual service will increase in subsequent years. So if we see increased utilization of more expensive technology for a specific DRG in the subsequent year, that DRG payment increases. And then obviously we all know that for physician payments, the open repairs are associated with greater reimbursement than laparoscopic or robotic repairs. And again, laparoscopic and robotic repairs reimburse the physician based on CPT coding exactly the same. So I want to highlight here some of the differences in 2017 between laparoscopic inguinal hernia repair and open inguinal hernia repair from a physician payment perspective. This is all payers across the United States. For inguinal hernia repair, unilateral primary repair. On an outpatient facility perspective, APC, you can see that the same hernia would reimburse nearly $4,200 for a laparoscopic repair and only $2,800 for an open repair. And in an ambulatory surgery center, that same hernia would reimburse $2,000 for a laparoscopic repair and only $1,400 for an open repair. So significant variability based on the procedural choice by the individual physician. So let's dive into the literature and try to understand what are the true costs. Well, laparoscopic hernia repair is well described, and we know that the outcomes are actually quite comparable to what we see with open inguinal hernia repair. And this dates back to an article by Bob Fitzgibbons in 2004, where laparoscopic repairs actually had pretty good rates, low rates of recurrence, and low incidence of recurrent repairs. Now, from this data, Dr. Fitzgibbon's group was able to look at not only at the cost, at the outcomes, but they dove into the societal costs and quality adjusted life years. And interestingly, back at that time, over 10 years ago, they found that a laparoscopic repair was more cost effective for unilateral repairs, whether primary or recurrent, and found that open repairs were more cost effective for bilateral repairs. Now, interestingly, that that's at a time that laparoscopic hernia repair was in its infancy, and I think it's somewhat counterintuitive. This more recent article, 2012, compared laparoscopic and open inguinal hernia repairs, again from the standpoint of cost. And what they found is that a unilateral laparoscopic repair took about 8 minutes longer, a bilateral repair took the same amount of time, but there was an increase in disposable costs associated with a laparoscopic repair. A subsequent randomized trial, again comparing Liechtenstein repair versus TEP over a 5-year period of time, dove into costs greater than just disposable costs. And what you can see here in this study, they actually looked at the cost of the index operation and found that a laparoscopic repair was about $700 more expensive than a Liechtenstein. Including the cost of complications, a laparoscopic repair added about $84 on average. But when including the cost of return to work and societal costs, there was an offset. So laparoscopic repair actually had a benefit of a savings of nearly $600, but ultimately resulted in a greater cost associated with laparoscopic repair. Keep in mind that the laparoscopic repair, although the recovery was shorter, there was a greater incidence of chronic pain that we'll hear about later, and their incidence of recurrence was slightly higher in this particular study. In the Annals of Surgery this year, again, a prospective randomized trial of laparoscopic versus open bilateral inguinal hernia repairs was performed. In this study, the incidence of recurrence was similar between the two groups, but there was a lower incidence of postoperative complications of about 8% versus 27%. And the incidence of chronic pain, again, was different. Now, what did that translate into from the standpoint of costs? You can see for bilateral repairs, the OR time was comparable. The laparoscopic repair costs exceeded the open repair due to the use of disposable supplies. The TAP hospital and outpatient costs were less, but overall the TAP total costs were greater. But when factoring in overall quality of life, laparoscopic repair had better outcomes than open bilateral Liechtenstein type repairs. This is a study from 2014 Medicare patients looking at costs of multiple procedures, not just inguinal hernia repair, but represented over 200,000 patients. An interesting finding was that laparoscopic repair had a higher incidence of complications, a slightly higher incidence of readmission, length of stay was improved, but a claims cost from Medicare data set was significantly higher, about $1,500, and their physician reimbursement was about $150. And again, we shared the reason for that just a moment ago. And this may really explain some of the differences that we're seeing in that Medicare population, but really the US population in general, where minimally invasive utilization represents a minority of overall inguinal hernia repair, where only about 15% of the Medicare population in 2014 underwent a minimally invasive approach. So what about robotic? We've talked a lot about LAP and MIS. How does robotic factor into all of this? This study that came out of the University of Nebraska looking at the Vizient database, a large conglomerate of patients, looked at inguinal hernia repairs between 2008 and 2015. As you can see, the incidence of open repair represented nearly 85% at both time points. Laparoscopic repair has decreased in utilization from that time from 12.5% to 10.8%, whereas the robotic repair increased in incidence from 3% to 4.5%. So you can see it's the erosion of laparoscopy that's resulted in the increased incidence of utilization of robotic repair, at least in that time point at 2014, that may be changing currently. So is there a benefit to utilizing the robot? This is a randomized trial comparing robot, LAP, and open performed. And you can see the robot repair was associated with increased operative time. And operative time, as we talked about earlier, certainly has a cost compared to both laparoscopic and open repair, which translates into significantly increased costs of $7,000 versus $4,200 to $4,500 for either laparoscopic or open repairs, again, in this prospective randomized trial. with no difference in clinical outcomes in this subset of patients. So what are the costs of robots? I think it's important to recognize that robotic technology represents a sunk cost to institutions. So this study in JAMA, from JAMA Surgery in 2018 estimated the cost per case of robotic utilization across all types of procedures, not just inguinal hernia repair, but they found on average there's about $1,800 used for instruments for each case, $600 in service contracts, again, a sunk cost which can't be underappreciated, $1,000 in system costs in amortizing the system over a period of time, for a resultant cost of about $3,500 per case, but again, some of that is sunk costs and may or may not be factored into your budgetary analysis. Can you minimize those costs? Of course you can, with utilizing robotic technology, avoidance of expensive tackers, and utilization of suture techniques will offset some of those costs, but that data just simply has not emerged as of 2018. So I want to summarize by saying that the total hernia repair costs truly are difficult to measure and are highly variable. Patients, providers, insurers, and employers each incur unique costs, and I think it's important to keep that perspective in mind when you're talking about costs and what truly an individual has in their best interest. From a hospital perspective, unequivocally, an open inguinal hernia repair is the least expensive at the time of operation. From a patient perspective, an MIS repair is going to get them back to work earlier. And from a societal perspective, I would say it depends, and it depends on things like employment status, risk of recurrence in an individual surgeon's hands, and the potential for complications. And I would say that robotic repair can be as cost-effective as laparoscopy if you're able to avoid or not take into account the sunk cost of the robotic system. Again, thank you very much for the privilege of speaking today.